And it's our daily bread, the Word of God. Jesus said, give us this day. We're to pray, give us this day our daily, not weekly, but daily bread. And so Jesus quantified our relationship with Him and the Father as something that is absolutely daily. It's all the time. It's not Sunday morning. It's 24/7, 365. We're going to talk about how the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Everybody say that out loud. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Notice the disciples didn't ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to preach, right? No. Lord, teach us to perform. No. See, when we are taught to pray, when we learn from the Lord, as we're going to learn in this message from His Word, to pray, then all the other things that He calls us to fulfill are going to be fulfilled. You see, God has to work in us to work through us. We must be full of Him to bring Him to people, whether they be lost or saved. And so then we have what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer. That would be a better way to call it, because the disciples are asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, right? Okay, and in John 17, as a side note, that's actually better termed the Lord's Prayer, because that's the Lord praying to the Father, John 17. But here in Luke 11, also Matthew chapter 6, the disciples ask the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. And what is prayer in a general definition? Prayer is communication, communion with God, back and forth. So, Lord, teach us to pray. How many of us want the Lord to teach us more how to pray? Raise your hands if you want. So let's realize, though, before we start, as is always important, that we have a relationship with the Lord. That's why He came to die, to save us, for relationship. John 17, 3, Jesus said, speaking of the Lord's Prayer, right? John 17, verse 3, Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So, I want to point that scripture out to you. I want you to go ahead and write it down. Memorize John 17:3. As usual and always in the King James Bible. And so, Jesus tells us there when He's praying to the Father that He created us to know Him and to be known of Him. Our relationship with God is all about a relationship, communion, not a religion or religious law-keeping, mechanical, rote, R-O-T-E, works, but a relationship. Everything comes out of our relationship with God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We are saved by grace through faith, and as a result of the saving grace of Christ in us, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But notice the Lord and His grace, and He finds us and saves us. Jesus came and died for us while we were yet sinners, and Romans chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, and also 1 John 4:19, He first loved us. Jesus initiates the relationship. He finds us. We repent and put our faith in Him, and we are then saved. We are then the temples of the Holy Spirit, new creatures in Christ. All things are now of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. As His new creatures, regenerated, born again, we are His ambassadors, His ministers of reconciliation. God is working in us, and now He's working through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. We are saved by grace through faith, and thereby empowered to do the works that the Lord sent us to do, to bring Him glory. That comes before the works that then come through our lives and glorify the Lord. So I was born and raised Catholic, Catholic altar boy, Catholic school. But when I met a lady that was a Christian in my early 20s, she told me directly, it is all about relationship and not religion. That changed my life. It's about relationship, not religion. John 17, verse 3. So Jesus is going to instruct his disciples then and now as they ask him, and we ask him today to teach us to pray. Teach us to commune with you, to know you and be known of you, and to walk and abide in thee is more of the circumference of what prayer, our worship to God, is defined as by the whole counsel of Scripture. Okay, so Lord, teach us to pray. Christ's disciples should ask the Lord the same prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples called on Jesus to teach them to pray, to have a prayer life, to live a life of prayer. It's one thing to have a prayer life. It's another thing to live a life of prayer. Christ answered his disciples and us by giving the whole church a model prayer to be followed in spontaneous and joyful relationship. That's got to be at the foundation of our whole life in Christ, is the realization that we have a relationship with the Father and the Son due to the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 John 1:3 says the following, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:3. Our fellowship, our relationship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's 1 John 1:3. Jesus taught his disciples, he said, and it came to pass that as he was praying, Luke 11:1, in a certain place, notice Jesus carefully selected where he was going to pray. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said unto them, when ye pray, not if, but when you pray. Did you catch that? When you pray. Somebody has once said correctly that prayer is to your spiritual life what breathing is to your physical life. Someone has wisely stated that prayer is to your spiritual life what breathing is to your physical life. So what happens? What happens if you stop breathing physically? You die, right? What happens when you stop praying and living a life of prayer spiritually with the Lord? You're going to die spiritually. Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so I would highly recommend memorizing the words of Jesus in Matthew 26:41, where Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We cannot reform our flesh. The flesh must be crucified with Christ. And praying is the ultimate example of trusting Christ and not ourselves. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, and this is not a religious mechanical prayer. This is to be prayed with spontaneous love for God in relationship with the Lord, not just as something you're repeating without any heart engagement, like the Catholic Church does, right? They just say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. You know, they're rotely or mechanically. Yeah, it's vain repetition, as Jesus taught against in Matthew 6. I was brought up Catholic, and so I had to reorient myself to the disciples' prayer here. From religion to relationship is an eternal difference. In religion, you're trying to perform to merit or to earn God's favor and salvation. But the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, not by your works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so our Father, Jesus said, we're to address the Father as who? Our Father. How many people know that He is our Father? Have we stopped to relish the simplicity and the blessing that we are His children? That's assumed in this language, our Father. How many people also are glad it's not our mother? He's a big, strong, infinitely almighty God. God in His Word always presents Himself in the masculine. How many people want a big, strong man protecting you as opposed to a woman, right? You ever see these people with a security detail, a whole posse of security guards, and ask yourself, how many female security guards have you ever seen? Not many, if any, right? And that's for good reason. So this Mother Earth and all of this demonic language is a farce. You women know what it means to have a big, strong man with you, because he's going to protect you. And we serve a big, strong God who is infinitely almighty powerful. So our Father, every little word and phrase in this model prayer, we call it, has meaning to it. And we're not going to exhaust it, but we are going to go through it in this short prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, where is the Father? Do you know the new versions, a lot of them chop this whole prayer up and don't even acknowledge that God is in heaven, the fake Bibles? Okay, for example, the NIV here in Luke 11, verse 2, it says, He said unto them, when you pray, say, Father, not our Father, but Father, hallowed be your name. Notice, in comparison, the King James Bible in Luke 11, 2 says the following, And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father, notice, our Father. NIV didn't put the word our, which is in the original Greek. When ye pray, say, our Father. He's our Father through Christ, 1 John 3, verse 1, which art in heaven. Notice he tells us, Jesus tells us, where the Father is seated. Our Father, which art in heaven. Whereas the nearly or not inspired version, NIV, just says, Father, hallowed be your name. And the real Bible, again, the King James Bible, says, Our Father, which art in heaven. And you can check the other fake Bibles if you want to bother to do so. And so why did they remove the word Our Father and that He is in heaven? Well, Satan had our removed because he doesn't want our relationship to be personal with God the Father and Jesus Christ, as the Bible tells us in John 17:3 and 1 John 1:3, etc., that our fellowship, our communion, our relationship is with the Father and the Son. So Satan wants to detach us from that intimate, abiding, familial relationship. And also, he does not want us to look at God the Father as being in heaven. Notice he removed from his fake versions, which art in heaven. The real Bible says, Our Father, which art in heaven. The King James Bible. So he ascertains, Jesus ascertains, where the Father is. And do we see how this plays into the devil's religion called the Roman Catholic religion, where people call the priests, these sinners dressed in religious costumes, they call them Father. When Jesus said, call no man your father on earth. Notice that. Matthew 23:9. Notice, here's what Jesus said exactly, Matthew 23:9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is where? In heaven. So notice how Jesus again tells us that we are to call no man on the earth, upon the earth, Father. And it's because our Father is in heaven. Heaven, Matthew 23, verse 9. And that's because they're setting people up for the Antichrist, to receive the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is not in heaven, he's on earth. And he's a fake, he's a counterfeit. And notice someone rightly asked the question concerning this corruption this butchering of God's word. They said, is your Bible geared to glorify Antichrist? Is your Bible going to be used by Antichrist to convince you he is Jesus? Unquote. So our Father, which art in heaven, he's in heaven. The first thing our Lord Jesus mentions about God's intrinsic divine nature is what? Hallowed or holy be thy name. Holy is your name, O God. Yes, God is holy, 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 right? Hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name. Okay, so he says of the Father that he's holy, as the Bible says. He's holy, holy, holy. Regrettably, today in the modern church, we're hardly ever going to hear the mention of God being holy, much less hear a sermon from the Word of God on how God is holy, 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 and what that really means. If you are sitting under a pastor or anybody pretending to represent Christ, and he's not preaching the holiness of God and how God requires you to be holy as he is holy, you are sitting under a false teacher on that basis alone.
Notice that the NIV does not remove the word hallowed, and that's because Satan's plan by design is to make you think the Antichrist is holy and he will be worshiped as such by those who are outside of Christ's kingdom. Okay, back to the real Bible, the King James Bible, the scripture says,
our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Are we recognizing God for who he is?
And also where he is?
That's a rhetorical question. Or are we just communing with him to try to get stuff for ourselves?
That is, when we go before him in prayer.
Now, again, that's a rhetorical question. So, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. So we're to pray that God's kingdom comes on the earth as it is in heaven. And how is the Lord bringing his kingdom to the earth? He's bringing it largely through his disciples. And that's a prayer for us. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring your glory, Lord. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says that we're to declare and pray that his light would shine through us. Let your light, he said, let your light shine before men that they may see your Father, the good works and of the Father in your life. Matthew 5:16. It says the following, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this is exactly what we've been talking about as an overall governing truth here, is as God's light shines in you and I through our prayer communion with him, it's going to shine through us. But first he has to shine in us. That's how the kingdom works. Remember, the cross is first vertical, right? And then it's horizontal. That's a key kingdom truth. First, the cross represents God coming down and shining his light into us through Christ's cross. And then as he saves us and is shining and filling us, he is then shining out from us. Picture the cross beam that goes horizontal, where the hands of the Savior were nailed.
And are we his children, not his hands and feet in the earth, touching the people of the earth with the gospel?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works that the Father's doing, that is. Yes. And later in Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Notice the priority of it, of loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, and then he says, and the second, right under that, is what? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So,
as you and I are loving the Lord who came to die for our sins, to bridge the gap that was formed by sin and bring us back to fellowship and relationship with the Father in heaven as we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's going to pour His love into us, and then His love is going to flow through us. Jesus is saying that as you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He's going to love through you to your neighbor. How many of us realize that God is not only holy? So as Christ, who is the light, John 8:12, shines in us, He is going to shine through us. A lot of times we try to do ministry, and that's a good desire, but we've got to be full of the Lord presently. And then as we are, it's going to be a cup overflowing illustration, as we see in the book of Psalms, chapter 23, where He says, "My cup runneth over." See, we can't do the work of God unless we're empowered and full of God. Hallelujah. And that comes through a life of prayer. Thy kingdom come, not mine, but yours. See, you have surrendered your life, is what is intrinsic in this prayer. Your kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day, or give us our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. See, following Christ involves, at the foundation, a life of prayer and devouring the bread of the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word of God, John 1, etc. So we're to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't take thought for the morrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We've got enough to deal with today. God will be there with us tomorrow, and He will take care of tomorrow. I mean, think about as a child, when you were growing up with mom and dad at the helm, did you ever worry about food or provision or the future? No. You didn't even worry about food or provision for the day, much less tomorrow, right? So if God has taken care of you all of these years, day by day, and your stomach is full, you have a roof over your head and clothes on your body, why would our Father ever cease to do such? Well, He won't. Amen. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his children begging bread. So we see here in this verse, Psalm 37:25, that the beloved David tested God and saw that He, God, was and is unchanging and perpetually faithful to take care of His children. Isn't that a blessing? The Bible says we are to forget not all His benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Okay, as we come in for a landing, we're just going through the prayer, the model prayer Jesus gave us. And remember, when we pray this, we are to do it out of a heart of spontaneous love to God. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Let Your kingdom come today in my life and in the life of Your children all over Your earth. Thy will be done, not mine, but Thine. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. How many people know God wants us to confess our sins? And when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Anybody that's wronged us, we forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice, deliver us from evil. Let us not be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when we pray that, God's hand is going to protect us. I've seen it many times myself. The flesh wanting to go to the left, and God miraculously saving me by bringing me over to the right, if you know what I mean, illustrative-wise. Remember, Jesus says, watch and pray so that you won't enter into temptation, and realize that the Spirit indeed, the Holy Spirit and your spirit are willing, but the flesh is weak. We've got to understand, we can't walk with God without God Himself filling us, infusing us, empowering us. Amen? And this, of course, works via the dying downward, the death and burial of self, and Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, raising us up in His power to please and
be fruitful for His eternal glory.
Remember, Jesus is coming, ready or not, and He loves us so much. That's why He said that you got to watch and pray, my beloved children, so that you won't enter into temptation. I love you. I don't want you to enter into temptation. And what does that mean, enter into temptation? It means you actually were tempted and then you stepped forward into that sin. Why? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you weren't watching and praying, and so you weren't full of the Holy Spirit, and therefore you fell into that temptation, and it's your fault. Amen. Let's pray together before we close, saints. With these words of our Lord Jesus Christ in mind, we pray, Heavenly Father, we come to you now afresh in prayer, as you instructed, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you to teach us to pray. Here and now, Lord, we lay our life in your holy hands afresh. You must increase, Lord, but we must decrease. In the name of Jesus, please bless this life that you gave, bless our lives that you gave, to be dead and buried and raised up by you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.